Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
We were joined today by John Lennon, CEO of DIRS, a migrant and refugee support group. And you're welcome, John, to the programme this evening. I know you've been listening to that report from John Cook. So what do you make of what you've just heard and of those experiences of the men who've been living in tents?
Yeah, the situation is becoming quite unbearable for those men. My colleagues have actually been visiting Nakusheen regularly. We've seen the tents firsthand. We know that they're cramped. There's no personal space or storage space. The floors are cold, as we were told. People need to go outside to go to the toilet, and that's really not pleasant at night. Blasts of cold air come in as people go in and out. There are systems, there are heaters that are intended to heat the tents, but as we've heard, they don't work well. And now infections, viruses likely to spread, or everyone's health suffers because of the proximity of people to each other. People are getting sick now, as we've heard. And in the last few days, things have just gotten a whole lot worse. You know, they can't sleep now because it's cold. As we know, it's bitterly cold these nights. The men are now saying that anything would be better than where they are at the moment.
So how concerned are you, John, at this stage? Because there's over 100 of them in those tents in Nakusheen, 18 others in Athlone. And as you say, it has gone very, very cold. And we don't know for how long it's going to stay cold.
We don't. And the men are constantly, you know, they're asking us, they're asking everybody that will talk to them, when is this going to end? When will they be moved? And as we heard in those snippets, they've looked at people being moved from Gormanston from tents. They've seen the closure of tents in Tralee. They've seen people being moved on from Athlone. And they're asking, when are we going to be moved? Well, we understand that there may be a need to use tents like the ones in Nakusheen in an emergency situation. If there's a surge in numbers, if there's no other alternative but to put people in situations or places like that for a week or 2 weeks, then I think most of them would tolerate, they would accept that if they knew the length of time that they would be there. But as we've heard, they moved into the tents in September, been told it was 4 weeks, and here we are 12 weeks later, and they're getting really frustrated. The lack of communication is frustrating for them. The conditions have been described as inhuman, and not knowing when it'll end is re-traumatising for many of the men, because we have to remember that many of them have already, you know, they've been traumatised by their past experiences. They're now living with uncertainty and terrible conditions, and as I said, that's re-traumatising. It's affecting their mental health.
I know you say that you could understand if the tents were used in an emergency, you know, for a short-term accommodation. And I know the government would argue this is an emergency, it's just not a short-term emergency, because the number of international protection applicants has increased so dramatically this year, along with obviously the number of Ukrainian refugees, I think 60,000 at this point or something along those lines from Ukraine. And there's simply nowhere to put all the people.
Well, we absolutely appreciate the enormous ongoing challenges that the department face when it comes to finding accommodation, and particularly when it comes to finding accommodation for international protection applicants. We also fully accept what the minister and what his officials say about not wanting to see people living in tents. But what is frustrating and what is difficult for the people in the tents to understand is why they appear to have just been abandoned in those tents without having information or communication, without having a clear end date for when they're likely to be moved out, and without knowing what may come beyond the tents. And again, you know, we appreciate that there are difficulties, and we've seen the negative reactions in places like East Wall, which appear to have been orchestrated with questionable intent from some of the participants, even though many communities have questions that government again needs to provide answers and information about. So it's to do with information. It's to do with being honest, being open with them in relation to their situations, and it's also to do with ensuring that people are not left for too long, for a length of time that's damaging to their physical and mental well-being in situations like this.
Yeah, because we heard the men themselves suggest there that other asylum seekers and refugees who have arrived in Ireland since they've arrived, more recent arrivals than themselves, they've got better accommodation. Is that, I don't know, do you know, are they referring to Ukrainian refugees, or do you think there is a two-tier system operating now for depending on the type of refugee or asylum seeker that you are?
Well, I mean, we worried that there's a danger that some might feel that at least they've got a roof over their heads and they're okay. So I think it's really important that the men have been able to articulate and explain exactly how difficult and how unbearable the situations they're living in are. And when they say that they would move to anywhere, this is, in this type of weather, little or no better than being homeless and being on the streets, because the men have had to move to someplace warm or even trying to sleep on the floor to get through the night. The situation is really challenging for the department, but we need to find ways where people can move on to places that are less damaging to their health than where the men in the tents are now. And again, we accept that it may be necessary to have people sleep in tents for a couple of weeks while more permanent accommodation is being found for them. But as people come in, they can't be left to languish in these conditions without a greater effort being made, we feel, to move them on.
I know John Cook mentioned to one of the men he was speaking to about the homeless crisis that's here still in Ireland, and worse than ever. Over 11,000 people, including over 3,000 of whom are children, homeless in this country. To what extent is that context, do you think, being taken into account?
Well, I know that from the men's point of view themselves, they fully appreciate the challenges that are being faced, and they have been very patient over the last 12 weeks while waiting for something better to come along. I think there's an increasing appreciation now and understanding that first of all, international protection applicants come here because of their well-founded fears of persecution or torture, and will need to remain here in a large number, a vast majority of cases. We're also now coming to the realization and the recognition that people who have arrived from Ukraine will also need to stay here for quite a long period of time, given the likelihood that the war is not going to end anytime soon in Ukraine. So we now need to look at more of the long-term sustainable responses to the accommodation needs for refugees. This is situated in the context of an even greater or broader homeless crisis here in the country. So we do need to look, and again, this comes back to some of the recommendations that have been made by Catherine Day and the others who have been acting as the expert advisory group to the transition team and the programme board. We need to get reception centres built quickly for international protection applicants. We need to look at a whole of government approach that provides for longer term sustainable solutions for accommodation for Ukrainians. We need to consider an agency that will take responsibility for this, and to ensure that the Department of Housing is connected in as well, and that we look at this in its totality and not just a flash in the pan. It's something that we're going to have to adjust to live with here. We're quite rightly open the doors to all refugees. We have a moral and legal obligation to do that. We now have to ensure that they're safe and that they're protected when they're here.
John Lennon, CEO of Theris, thank you very much for joining us.